Hello everyone, my name is Anton Boyko, I am Microsoft Azure MVP, and today I want to talk with you about Azure Mobile Services backend development. And for today I have really no slides except this one title slide. So now I will switch to my desktop sharing, and today we will mostly work on Azure portal, and we will see how we can create very fast in a very efficient manner our backend for our mobile application. Okay, so I hope now you are able to see my screen. So what do we have here? I already logged into our Azure portal. I already created like an empty service for current demonstration. We will use Eboico demo 2015 English. And what do we have here? We have our dashboard. Here we have some kind of statistics information. Here we have our mobile service URL. Here we can see that we already have like 68 API calls, we have zero device connected, and so on and so on and so on. But when we start working with mobile services, in almost every case we will start working with tables. So let's start and create some tables here. I will click add table, and let's say that we want to have kind of news application, and that's why we will create a first table called news. And for demo purpose I would say that everyone is able to insert, update, delete and read for this table. And also we have news. Let's say that we also have like a categories. So categories here, and also let's say that we want to save some kind of additional information about users, something like maybe user profile inside our application. So that's why we need to have this users table also. And now let's just wait a few moments while mobile service will provision all required stuff for our three tables. Okay, cool. So now we have these three tables. Let's start from news. As you can see inside browse tab, here we have no records yet. Let's go to the next tab called script. Here on this tab we can adjust kind of scripts for backend logic for each operation we can perform on a table. So we can adjust insert, update, delete and read operation logic. Let's start from insert. So what do we have here? We have a regular function with three arguments. Inside item we will have all information about item which we try to insert. Inside user argument we will have all information about user who tries to perform this action. So basically inside user we will have all information about authentication, access level and so on and so on. And inside request we will have like everything else. And of course when I will call request.execute I will just like send this request to the database. So let's say I am able to add some logic inside insert script and adjust a little bit my insert logic, let's say add some validation maybe or something like that, and if everything is okay, I'm call for request execute, and after that my request is translated to database, and this item will be inserted to corresponding database table. Inside update we have pretty much the same. We have update function, we have item which we tries to update, we have user object, we have request, and also we call for request execute when we are ready to update this item in our database. Inside delete we have a little bit another picture. So the first argument called ID, and this is kind of good place to put only ID, because when we tries to delete this record from the database, we do not need to have like all fields or all columns. We need just the primary key, and this is ID in our case. So inside ID, as I already said, we will have only unique identifier of this record, and that's all. But user and request, they are completely the same as we have before. And the last one, operation called read. So here we also have user and request, and also we have query object, and inside this query object we will have all information about our query, about filters, about some kind of sorting condition, and so on and so on. Also here I have my postman, and if you remember when we talked previously about Azure Mobile Services, I said that Azure Mobile Services is basically like a data API. So it works with a REST API, and if you are able to send like HTTP requests, you will be able to work with Azure Mobile Services. So let's go back here, let's go to dashboard. I will copy our mobile service URL here, and I will use table as a road param, and let's say news send. Now I will try to send, it's a GET request, so I will try to send a regular read query to my database, and I will try to read all records from my news table. For the first run it will take really kind of a lot of time, just because mobile services needs to start up. Okay, so 404 not found, it's because it's not table but tables. Send, yes, so it's tables slash news, and as you can see we have an empty array here. It's because for now we do not have any records inside our news table. Okay, so let's try to add a new record. I will switch to post here, and I will go to body. I will say that my body is application JSON, and let's try to add news with field title. My first news, and of course body. This is my news body, something like this. So as you can see, it's just a regular JSON object with only two fields, title and body. And let's try to hit send button, and let's see what we have here. So we have status 201 created, And as a response, we have another JSON file. As you can see, title is the same, my first news, body is the same, this is my news body, and of course we have an ID, and this ID is kind of unique ID of my news inside my table. And this ID was auto-generated by the server side, because we provide only URL and we provide only body with true fields, and all other was auto-generated by the server side. Now we also can go here and see what we have inside news. So as you can see, this is my first news, and I have several additional like system fields: created at, updated at, version, and deleted false, because I use soft delete here. So let's try to add, for example, my second news and my third news. Okay, so now we have three news inside our database. Let's hit refresh here, and as you can see, second, third, first. Yeah, it's not really straightforward, but basically all these records, they are sorted by ID field. So that's why as you understand, this ID is pretty much random for each record, so that's why we have second, third, and first record in the same order. Okay, let's go to our postman and let's try to hit a get request again. And as you can see, what we have here, we have news, my first news, my second news, my third news, and this is kind of response from the server, and we are able to obtain like the whole list of our news at any device where we can use in HTTP request. Okay, so this stuff is pretty much simple. Let's try to adjust a little bit our logic. So the first and kind of a simple step which we can demonstrate here is to, for example, adjust your item you try to insert. So let's say item dot user level equal user dot level. In this case, I will create a new property or a new field for my item, and I will provide it with the values from user.level property. As you may remember from our previous talk, inside user.level we will have like the current authentication level. So I will click save here, now I will go back to Postman and I will take, for example, this request from the history, and let's say news number 4 send. Again, we need to wait just because we adjust our backend logic and our mobile service need to restart. And as you can see now, as a response, we have title news number 4, body this one, ID, we already discussed it, and we create a user level property and set it to anonymous, because now I do not provide any like additional fields for authentication, so that's why the user level is anonymous. Let's go back here and click browse. So here we have, as you can see, user level. User level is equal to null for three records, but for this one it's equals to anonymous. It's because we create this field only for this record. And the question is why we are able to adjust our database schema so easily. The answer is very simple. Inside our mobile services we have configure tab, and here we have dynamic schema. For now, by default, dynamic schema is on. So let's say I will switch off dynamic schema, and while mobile service saving this stuff, I will add, I don't know, custom field 1. So now I will try to insert my news number 5 with a new field called custom field 1, and the value for our demonstration will be something like blah blah blah. So yeah, here it's already saved, so let's hit send button here. As you can see, we have an error: could not save item because it contains a column that is not in the table schema. Let's try to clean up this mess. Send. Yes, in this case, when we remove this column, we was able to insert this record. But let's switch off and create news number 6. I will go here and switch dynamic schema back on. Dismiss. Send. And for now, custom field 1 was created, and let's try to call for all records in our database. So we have like my first news, my second news, my third news, news number 4 with anonymous. Here, as you can see, we have null. Also news number 5 with anonymous, and news number 6 with both anonymous, and custom field 1 equal to blah blah blah. So in this way I show you how you can create new custom fields and how you can work with customizing your scripts logic. Now let's talk a little bit about authentication. So let's say that we want to restrict a little bit our API usage, and let's say that we want to, for example, for our news table, we want to say that insert is not for everyone, it's for anybody with the application key. I will save it here. I will go back to my postman. Boom, boom, boom. So it will be news number 7. Oh, 7. So yeah, Here we are, okay, let's try to create it. Nope, we are unable to create it because we are unauthorized. So let's try to authorize using our application key. What do we need for this? So first of all, we need to go back to our dashboard, and here we have this manage keys button, and we have both application key and master key here. So let's copy our application key. Copy. And to pass authentication with our application key, we just need to add it as a specific header. And the header name is, XZumo application, and the value is this one. And I also want to adjust a little bit body. It will say something like application news. So now we have two headers and a regular body. Let's hit send. And now, as you can see, we were able to pass authentication, and our user level is still anonymous. Of course, we can say that we want to use a master key. In this case, we need to say that our header will be XZumo master, send, and we were able to create this new item using the master key, and as you can see, our user level now is admin. And yeah, pretty much the bad stuff is that we have we didn't change the news title and the body, but either way, as you can see, we can use both application key and master key, and the main difference between them is the application key is a kind of public key which you can distribute among all your users, just to ensure that not every user from the internet are able to access your API, but only those users who are use, for example, your mobile application. But the master key is completely different story, because master key is the same as admin key. It will give you full permission to all your API, so that's why it's really not a good idea to distribute your master key for all your public users. So master key should be as much secret as possible. Okay, now let's talk a little bit more about custom API. I will go back to portal. Here I am on my API tab, and let's create our first custom API. Again, I will set permission to everyone. And let's say that we will have an API called my news. And let's create it. So, for example, in our case, when I will call this API, I will get not the whole news from the news table, but only those which I am really interested in. Let's see what we have inside. We have script tab and permission tab. On a script tab, we can adjust the API script, and on permission, as I show you before in a table example, we can work with permission and adjust which like level of authentication you need to pass to access specific API method. Okay, let's try to adjust this API a little bit. So here we will have hello world from post, and here I will type from get. Let's save it. And let's see the basics, how it works. I will switch back to Postman. Here I need to type API. Oh, sorry. API slash my use. Get request. Send. And as you can see now, we have this hello world from get. And now let's switch back to post. Send. Invalid JSON or empty body. Yeah, okay. So let's have it this way. Send. And here we have hello world from post. Okay, so in this way I demonstrated you how like the API basics work, but of course for now we work only in the portal, and as you may understand, it's not like the best user experience to work with our JavaScript in this editor. So let's try to learn something new. Go to configure tab and I will show you what we have here. Here we have our JIT URL. So basically we can use this URL to download the source code of our mobile services and work with this source code locally using like any editor we like. And after that, for example, we can push those changes back to cloud, and our mobile services will grab those updates and will work in a new way. So I will show you how it works. So for now, let's copy this. Let's go here, and for example, I will use Tortoise Git. So I want to clone this repository to this folder. Okay, now I need to enter my login and password. This is not the login and password which I use for my Live ID authentication. This is like a little bit different story. If I will go back to my Azure portal and go to dashboard, here I have, as you can see, mobile service URL, and also I have my source control username and of course source control user password. In case you do not have this source control username, you can use this reset your source control credential, and here is my username, and here I am able to enter my new password. And another important stuff about this username and password: using these credentials I am able to access any repository. For example, for any mobile service I'm able to access to. So for example, if I have like 10 mobile services on my subscription, I will use the same credentials like username and password for accessing all of them. And also, if someone will know my username and password, he also will be able to access all these 10 repositories. The same if I have like several subscriptions, I will share this username and password among all these subscriptions. So basically, the main idea was, do not tell this password to anyone. This login and password are connected to your LiveID account, and basically they have like pretty much the same permissions when we talk about accessing source control for your Azure services. Okay, so I cloned this repository here, and as you can see, I have this JIT folder, I have my service folder, and here I have API extension scheduler and blah blah blah. But it's not like a good idea to work with JavaScript and JSON file in a notepad. So let's try to open your favorite tool. For example, I prefer to use a WebStorm. So now I will open my WebStorm. Okay, so here I have my WebStorm, and as you can see, the project structure is pretty much the same as for any Node.js project. For example, I have this package JSON file here, which really describes my Node.js app. It has a name, version, description, main file, engines, dependencies, and so on. Of course, I have like a lot of folders here. For example, I have my API folder, and inside this folder I have two files with my use name. So my use JS, as you can see, this is our custom API we created it like several minutes ago, and basically hello world from post and hello world from get, so it's our like the latest version of this API. In this JSON file we have permissions, so get permission public, post public, and so on and so on. Inside readme.md file we have like some quick start manual how we can start use custom API. So as you understand, you need to create like a JavaScript file, for example my api.js, and corresponding JSON file, also my api.json. Inside API script you can put this example. So basically exports dot get, post, delete, and so on and so on, to like create a function which will respond for corresponding API method. And the JSON file will describe your permissions also for get, post, patch, delete, and put. And here you can set like public, application, user, admin, so you can easily define all your permissions here inside these JSON files. And pretty much the same for tables. So we have this readme file for tables, so each table also has a file which will describe like the backend logic and file which will describe the permissions. So news.json will describe permission for our table, like insert for application, all others for public. And news.insert, it's basically our script for insert backend logic. The only difference between like API and table here is that for API we will have a single JSON file, I mean like a single JavaScript file with all methods inside the same file. So here like we have a single file and both like post and get, we have it right here. When we talk about tables, we will have like four different JavaScript files, and in case we do not have this file, like for categories and for users we have only JSON files, and for example for news we have only insert file. The main idea is that all other like actions will use the regular default logic, and regular default logic is just request.execute and that's all. Also, you can define startup tasks inside extensions folder. You have this startup.js script, and here you will be able to define your custom startup task. Here you can create kind of additional resources and so on and so on, which will be used, for example, by your mobile services. Inside scheduler folder, you are able to define your tasks which will run on a schedule basis. And inside shared folder, you are able to create a kind of shared code which after that you will be able to reuse at any place you need to. So let's start from this share code. The first example of share code, like the most easy example, is to create a kind of validation engine. For example, when I submit or when I update my news, I want to validate that my news title should always have some values inside. And that's why I will go through this instruction just to demonstrate how you can create like a new shared piece of code. So first you need to create a new file inside this folder. Let's say new JavaScript file validation. Okay, so here we have our validation.js file, and here is an example what we need to put inside this file. Okay, let me just zoom it a little bit. Okay, we will create our first method called isEmpty. We will have only one argument like value, and our value isEmpty if type of value equal to undefined, or value equal to null. Oops. Or value equal to an empty string. So this is kind of simple way how we can check if our value is empty. Okay, let's go back to our README file, and here we have a second example how we can start using this shared code. I will grab this example here and go to news insert. I will put it here, and for now I will comment it out. So the first one, we need to reference this module validation, for example, equal to require, and pass to this file shared validation.js, and after that we need to check if, for example, our value is empty. So that's why let's set if validation dot is empty, item dot title so in case our value is not empty, then we will as usual set user level and execute the request. But let's say that our value is empty. In that case, request.respond, we need to respond with some error. And also we need, for example, to log this error. So let's create a error message. Title is empty. And console.error, oops, message, and also we will respond with status codes dot bad request, and we will provide a message, the same message here, so the user will be able to understand why this is a bad request. And the status codes, it's like a global variable here, which encapsulates a lot of status codes like okay, bad request, and so on and so on. Also, I can remove this code here. Okay, so now I will save it and I will go back here. And what I need to do now? So first I need to commit my changes. Okay, I have a lot of unnecessary files, so let's, for example, for now, tortoise git add to ignore list. So I will ignore my files from the WebStorm. And okay, so let's say here cleanup, and we will commit just this adjusted git ignore file. And the next commit we will have add validation to news insert, something like this. Okay, close. And now we need to push it to our Azure repository. I will provide again my username and password. Okay, everything seems to be done. Let's go back to our portal for a moment. Go to API. Oh, sorry, not API. Go to data, news, script. And as you can see, we have our new version of insert script right here. Okay, let's go and try to load some post request. Okay, and let's try to submit this request without title. Send. So as you can see, title is empty and status is bad request. Okay. Oh. Let's say news number. Okay, let's just news with title. send again, and now, as you can see, everything works fine because our validation was okay for this request. And of course, I also can go to my logs here, and as you can see, I have error here. I can go to details, and title is empty. And of course, I have source, so the source is news insert. I can click on that source and go back to this script. So it's very useful, and in this case, you can very kind of in a fancy way use your shared code and work like very fast to create a backend for your mobile application. Let's go back for a moment here, and let's go back again to our custom API. So what do we have here? Here we have like a custom API scripts, but I want to demonstrate another fancy stuff which you are able to use only if you are using like if you are using source control for working with your code. So you can use the shared script only if you are working with the source control, because there are no place on the portal where you can edit your shared scripts. And the second one, it's basically like npm modules. So let's go to terminal and let's use like one of my favorite npm command and favorite npm module, npm install UUID --save. So I will install the custom module unique identifier and I will save it. So now in package.json I have this in my dependencies, and also I have this node modules here, and here is my UUID module. Okay, and let's try to adjust a little bit our API. I will put get on the top. It just will be a little bit easier for me because I used to have get on the top. And let's try to reference this module here using the same require technique. Okay, so UUID require. And oops, sorry. Not modules, ID t.js, for example, and in response, I will send here. I will generate a new unique identifier and send it back to user. So I will save it and again go here, commit, and as you can see here I will commit only two files. I will commit my adjusted version of API, and also I will commit my adjusted package.json file. That's all. I do not need to commit the node modules folder. So add UUID. Okay, now I need to push it. Again, login and password. Okay, everything seems to be done. And let's go to our postman and let's trigger a get method for my news API. So as you may see, now we have a new unique identifier. We can trigger send again and we will obtain a new one again. And a new one, and so on, and so on, and so on. So, the main idea of this demonstration was to show you that we can restore NuGet packages, or sorry, not NuGet, we can restore NPM packages in a cloud, and the only thing you need to do, you need to add this NPM module to your dependency section inside package.json file, and that's all. So it's really kind of cool stuff, and I will really encourage you to use it. Okay, so the next important feature we also need to talk about, at least a little bit, it's documentation. So now I will go to msdnmicrosoft.com website. I will go to documentation section and API and references. Here we need to go to Azure Mobile Services REST API section. And as you can see, here is our documentation about Azure Mobile Services REST API. We can go to a little bit above, to one level above, mobile services, and this is the root of our Azure Mobile Services documentation. Microsoft provides you with a section called concept. It describes the main idea of mobile services, everything underneath, why it works, and what was the main idea when they created this service. They have client library for .NET documentation, for JavaScript, for C++, Windows Phone, and also JavaScript Node.js backend library, .NET backend library, and Azure Mobile Services REST API reference. For example, you can go here and inside Mobile Services Node.js documentation, you can have this section like scripts, example, and how-tos. So you can see how you can, for example, modify the request, how you can validate your data. For example, this one, you can see how you can handle errors. And so on and so on. So basically, almost everything we talk about today, you can find inside this JavaScript Node.js backend library. So this is your root for server-side JavaScript development with Azure Mobile Services. And the next thing I want to talk also a little bit, it's about user authentication. So I will go to my apps twitter.com. I will log in here. As you can see here, I have created my two applications. How to create a Twitter app, it's a very simple and straightforward process, so I will not spend a lot of time for this. Let's go to this application and go to keys and access tokens. Here, as you can see, you have API key and API secret parameters. I will go back to my mobile services. I will go to identity. Here I can configure Microsoft account, Facebook account, Twitter account, Google account for current demonstration. I will configure my Twitter account. So I need to copy my API key here, and I need to copy my API secret also here. Click save, and basically that's all. So it's very simple and straightforward how you can configure Twitter account authentication. We will use this authentication in like further demonstrations. And the next important part you also need to ensure is you need to go to settings here, and you need to ensure that in your account details your website is pointed to the root of your mobile services, and callback URL is my mobile service URL /login/Twitter. So it's very simple and straightforward to configure Twitter authentication, and as I already said, I will show you how to use this Twitter authentication in our further demonstrations.